and you're very welcome to the first KBC Investment Podcast in association with the Sunday Business Post. I'm Ian Guider. Coming up in this month's edition, we're going to be looking ahead to what's going to happen on the markets in 2018, and I'm joined by Gavin Curran and David Murphy of KBC Bank Ireland. Gentlemen, you're very welcome. Now, we've an awful lot to discuss over the next couple of months in this podcast, but I suppose the biggest thing going on in the markets right now is the period of volatility we've seen in recent months. Gavin, you might just take us back to the start of the year and the outlook KBC had for the markets. What was it, and have you had to revise it a bit?
Well, when I look back, I'm happy to say that we're not in a position where we would be inclined to change our view from the beginning of the year. We started the year positive on equities, and despite the volatility that we've been seeing in recent times, we remain confident that the markets will do fine as the year unfolds.
And what were you forecasting at the start of the year? Because we've had a very good run over the last number of years.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. 2017 was, of course, a very nice year, very, very low in terms of volatility. The markets were trending upwards all the time. So at the beginning of the year, we were expecting positive equity markets. We weren't putting a necessarily a final value on that, but we've been expecting that economic growth would continue in the way that we'd seen it last year, and that we, as a consequence of that, we overweighted equity in our strategy, for example.
We have seen some really good economic news around the world, which we haven't seen in the last number of years, a kind of coordinated increase in global GDP. We now seem to have all the major economies doing really well.
Indeed, you're bang on. You only need to look at Japan, where we've seen the earnings revisions marked up again. If we look at the European nations themselves, same story. In the US, you see a cycle now of rate hikes probably on the horizon, indicating, of course, a strong economy. Bond markets there, yields looking like they're going up, certainly on the long end of the curve. So yeah, overall, all the fundamentals are pointing that the markets are in a strong position.
So why do we have this period of volatility? What's driving it?
Well, a number of things I would say are playing here. I mean, probably number one right now would be the trade wars that we see. There's a lot of uncertainty around that. Trump is clearly a little bit unpredictable in terms of what he's going to tweet, what he's going to say. And as a consequence, we're seeing the markets react to that. We're seeing one day, one percentage point movements more now than we have seen throughout the entirety of the year last year, 2017. We didn't see much of this. Now we're seeing this as almost a daily event where the markets can move up or down by 1%.
David, at times like this, are there increased contacts with clients? What are they saying to you, and what are you telling them back?
It certainly is. Certainly around this time, you do see an increased level of interactions with particularly your more savvy investors who would be more tuned into what's happening in the economic markets and the environment. So certainly you would see an increase in that. What we're saying to customers is what we always say to clients is investments is a long-term game. And we are very clear with our clients from the outset when it comes to investment funds. They're not short-term investment products. We look at them over a minimum 3 to 5 year investment. So we're very clear at the outset, a way of avoiding the ups and downs of market volatility is to leave your money where it is long term, and you should see positive returns over the long term.
Do clients and customers, do they focus on some of the short-term moves in the market when they see the headlines that markets have fallen a couple of percentage points? Does that spur them to make contact and make changes to their investments?
Well, I think if we're really clear from the outset with our clients that you need to look at investments as a long-term game. Investments has never been about short-term game. And the products we sell, you shouldn't be looking at those as a short-term quick win. So the advice we give to clients when they come back to us after a few weeks, months, it's the same advice really we gave them at the start, is that focus on the long-term. Markets can go through periods of volatility, but over the long term, we've seen particularly equities as the asset class that performs best over the long period of time, and it's just to wait it out and wait for markets to return to positive.
Is there a different view expressed by some clients? As you said, there might be savvier investors out there compared to other investors who might have a bit more of a cautious outlook.
There certainly is. I mean, there's certainly some outliers there who look to make more short-term gains on it. But again, if I go back to the advice we give, we're very clear from the outset with clients that we should be looking at long term. However, of course, I mean, there are some clients that will certainly focus on short term gains. And you know, certainly, if you're looking for a short term gain, there are periods where investments will spike, and they're the lucky investors who decide to come out at that time.
Yeah, and from our side, on the investment side, when we meet to discuss the markets, of course, we're always cognizant of what's going on. So, I mean, from the beginning of the year, we've been positive on equities. Okay, of course, when we see things happen in volatility terms, we see the VIX, for example, the volatility index spike dramatically, much more than it has since 2015. Of course, there's going to be a reaction to that. Of course, there's going to be questions around that. But then we go back to the fundamentals. We look at what we think is really at play here. What's driving the economy? Is GDP growth strong? Do we expect the Fed to raise rates? Yes, we do still. And then we interact with David, and we make sure the message is consistent and that we're all on the same page.
So David, what have you guys got planned for the next couple of months for investors out there?
Yeah, so we've got pretty exciting stuff coming in line. So we're actually launching funds online now over the next few months. So what that'll mean is, rather than clients always having to have face-to-face meetings, they can do it from the comfort of their armchair. So they can be investors while, you know, over the weekend, in the middle of the night if you want, and you can make decisions based on your own portfolio. So that's coming down the line in quarter three. So that's coming very soon.
Which I think is a very good thing, because it's, I mean, a lot of these funds that we're going to bring online, currently we're not selling them through our hubs, but they'll be available straight away in the online environment. And we have a lot of thematic funds. We have some SRI type products. It should help us to hopefully reach a wider audience quicker than we otherwise could.
Yeah, so we have a range of funds at the moment, so we're looking to expanding that out. And certainly, you were asking me earlier about what customers are asking me. One of the questions I get asked quite a bit is about social responsible investments, and SRI funds, as we call them. So these would be where investments in pure green energy companies and things like that. So we're hoping over the next 12 months to launch into that market as well and bring those to our clients as well.
So the range of products out there for people who do want to invest, it is increasing all the time.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So at the moment we have three different types of funds. We've open balance funds, we have floor protected funds for your less savvy investor, and then we have momentum funds, which take advantage of whichever asset class is performing better at any given moment. So again, a kind of diverse enough range at the moment, but we're certainly adding to that portfolio.
Yeah, let's go through some of the fundamentals, because we tend to forget that the global economy is doing quite well at the moment, and some of the surprise where it's coming from is the European economy doing really, really well at the moment.
It is. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about that. We see that, you know, there are still concerns within Europe. Italy doesn't have a government, for example, right now. But fundamentally, we're strong. There is growth. There are talks about rate hikes coming down the line, probably towards the end of 2019, we believe, more than in the next year. But the fundamentals remain strong here. Consumer confidence, okay, it's been doing fine. But we're coming from a position of quite a high level. So over time, you can see this fall down a little bit.
And the US economy as well, equally as strong, despite a lot of the political noises.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, the stuff coming out of the US has been quite positive over the last few weeks and months. And, you know, there was an announcement recent regarding a large number of jobs that were created in the US. And again, that is in line with positive market conditions happening in the US. And what we're seeing as well is they're looking at increasing rates, the Fed looking to increase interest rates in the short term as well to keep up with rising inflation. So a lot of the news coming out of the US is quite good. There are some blips, and Gavin's mentioned there regarding some of the rhetoric coming out regarding, you know, trade wars and things that's unhelpful, but the underlying conditions remain very positive.
Yeah, I mean, and on the same note, again, you see other headlines that seem to be basically catching all the attention at the moment. Obviously, the trade wars is one, but then questions around the tech sector as well. So is the tech sector going to have another bubble like we saw back in 99, 2000? You know, again, we look at that a bit closer, and we think that overall, it's a little bit of a different situation now. Fine, Facebook have had their issues, but if we look at the fundamentals, these companies have a lot of cash stored away. They're quite profitable, very different to the times back in 99, 2000 when this wasn't the case. These companies were really starting out.
Generally, the outlook for earnings, it's been pretty positive.
That's true, absolutely, yeah. And we're meeting you know, earnings yields, for example, and the targets with that have been expressed are coming in at good levels. When you see the market correct, for example, we do notice that the you know, sometimes people look at the value of equity versus the value of bonds, and so therefore you look at equity yields, and the markets have come back in recent times, and that does of course then make the valuations look a little bit more appealing again.
For the average investor out there, where are you telling them to put your money? Are you still guiding more towards equities, or are you moving into more bonds, or are you moving into cash? What's your kind of typical investor doing at the moment?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we at the moment, if you look at interest rates, they've been low for the last number of years. In fact, they've been getting lower for the last few years. The long-term projection for interest rates is that they're going to remain low over the next, we actually think, really 5 or 6 years. And perhaps a new normal is long-term levels of low interest rate. So for our clients, the important message we're giving our clients is diversification. And diversification is simply where you split your money between different asset classes. So that's some of the funds that we offer to our clients have a variety of different asset classes within them. So you have equities, you have bonds. So during particular times of growth in economies, you'll have equities performing really, really well. At times of slowdown, which you would have seen maybe 2008, 2009, you'll see an inverse. You'll see bonds outperforming equities. So at the moment, it's really the asset class which is making the most returns. Moment is equities, albeit it's the most volatile asset class. It will always outperform other asset classes. So it's to remain diversified, and that's what some of our funds will help clients do.
Have Irish investors become less cautious? Have they become more risk averse? What's the kind of typical outlook now from a client? Are they looking more for growth, or are they looking more for protection?
It changes in my it does change from time to time. I think in times of positive market conditions, you tend to see your average investor going from more cautious type investments into more equity based products. And at times when market conditions are less favorable, you'll see the inverse happen, where clients will take their money out of more aggressive type products into the likes of your bonds and deposits. At the moment, certainly over the last 12 to 18 months in KBC, we've seen clients going towards more long-term fund investments which have elements of equities in them, because they're the asset class, I said before, that are performing the best. So that's where they're going towards at the moment.
Gavin, obviously markets can change fairly quickly. If there were to be any danger signs or any warning signs, what would they be?
Well, I mean, the number one thing that keeps coming back for us at the moment is the trade wars. Where does this finish up in the end? So where do we land with the trade wars? Obviously, Trump has, you know, he's a good negotiator. He seems to use this tactic quite a bit. But tariffs, which were originally indicated to land at Europe's door, have not materialized. So what happens with China? What happens with the North Korea situation? Those are the things we think that will potentially lead to more of a reversal in the markets than we're currently predicting. Because for those things, we do expect that it will turn out to be fine.
David, obviously there are an awful lot of people out there, when they see things in the news, they'll see Brexit, they'll see trade wars. What do they ring up to you and say, these are my concerns, how do I get around it, or how do I make money if this comes down the line?
Well, I think certainly if you look at going back over the last few years, there always tends to be in any given year some kind of, I guess, event that causes a little bit of concern among clients. I mean, certainly the last couple of years you would have seen Brexit, you have China back before that, you've obviously at the moment you've got a bit of more market volatility with some of the stuff coming out of Trump's mouth. But certainly at times like that, you just get customers questioning what they want to do with their money, or what the best thing to do with their money is. And I think that's where our fund managers and our investment managers come in. And, you know, they go back to the conversation they have with the customer at the very outset, is investment is long term, and the longer you leave an investment product, the better the returns are going to be. And we're pretty robust and sticking to that.
There'd be a lot of people as well might panic. How do you calm people down and say, listen, you've seen all the headlines, but fundamentally the economy of the world is looking good, corporate earnings are looking good. How do you calm people down who might want to make that short-term decision that may not be in their best interest?
Well, certainly if they approach us with a short-term position, then we don't encourage them to go into some of our funds, because, as I said, they're not seen as a short-term investment. But it certainly it goes back to, if you look at economic conditions or market conditions over a sustained period of time, is they're quite cyclical. They'll always have periods where they perform very well, they'll always have periods where they're not. But it's over the long term, you'll see that level out and you'll see the returns very positive. I mean, some of our funds, which are accessible anytime, have remained positive since 2008, have every year have had positive returns. Even during the likes of 2011, our funds in the most have performed very, very well. So you show them past performance, you show them what you remind them of the advice you'd given them before, and most of them are fine.
Mm-hmm. Gavin, as David said, we've had a long period of really good market conditions. I mean, that's very unusual compared to kind of previous cycles. Does that concern you at all, or do you think we're justified by the fundamentals?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, 2017 was a very calm year, if I could give that example, because when I look back, we have a product that we manage, which is a CPPI range of funds.
What's that?
It's a constant proportion portfolio insurance. So what it typically does is it tries to protect you on the downside. So it's a type of mechanism, let's say, that we manage the fund to, so that if the markets move in a certain way, we can be sure that the client will not lose a certain amount of money. Those funds, you know, when the markets are volatile, you're quite active in terms of what you're having to do to manage the fund to in line with its risk frameworks and all that. So we witnessed that in 2017. That was very calm. This year, okay, we're a little bit busier managing those funds now. It's more interactive. You have more to do. But the fundamentals stack up. When we look at the earnings that are coming out of all the companies, when we look at the GDP growth across the world, we do believe that the fundamentals are strong and that the position overweight equity is justified.
People also say, look, we've had this really good run for the last number of years, and they'll always want to know the specific advice as to how much longer can it last. I mean, is there any way of predicting that? Is there any way of assuring people, look, you know, this can continue?
Well, without having the tea leaves, of course, there isn't really. But there are methods you can fall back on. You can look at the fundamentals. You look at earnings yields relative to where they were in the past. There's technical analysis that professionals do, let's say. There's all type of measures that are out there. You need to compare your call on the markets themselves with where they've been in the past and see what do you think is going to happen moving forward.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to as well where you have a diversified investment portfolio. So having all your eggs in one basket has never been a good option, and it's never been the advice we would give. So the funds that KBC sell are mutual funds, so they're a mix of bonds and equities. So there are periods of time where one will outperform the other. The last few years you've seen equities outperform bonds, and that's been fairly consistent over the last years. Will there be a time in the future where it reverses? There possibly will, but if you're diversified and you have your money split between different asset classes, you'll ride that out fairly successfully.
David, you mentioned the question of interest rates, and interest rates have been low for a long time. I mean, what is the kind of consensus when we will see interest rates in Europe, in Britain, and in the US rise?
Well, certainly the European Central Bank are on keeping interest rates low on purpose. This quantitative easing program is due to finish this year. So what we are expecting after that is low level increases in interest rates over the next 12 to 18 months. However, they won't get to a level which you would call, I guess, normalized interest rates. So you could be seeing really 6 or 7 years of sustained low interest rates. And at the moment, if you think interest rates are next to zero, even if they get 3 or 4 more rate increase over the next 18 months, you're still barely breaking 1%.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you're bang on. I mean, if you look to the end of 2019, we expect to have seen some form of rate hikes in Europe. If you look across the waters to the US, you know, we're looking for a couple, probably 2-3 more hikes this year, and maybe one in 2019. So we do expect more hikes there. But of course, rate hikes is normally being done as a reaction to inflationary concerns by the local central banks. So if they're doing these things, it's a sign that the economies are very strong. You know, an economy is said to be expanding if you're raising interest rates normally. So with the Fed, what they're doing in the States, yeah, I mean, I think we can be quite confident that the more hikes will come.
In terms of the rest of the year, what would make you more positive on markets? Is there anything we might be seeing coming up in the next couple of months that would make things look a little bit even more healthier?
Well, certainly something like an agreement with North Korea would help. I think it would remove at least some of the concerns, some of the things that are maybe keeping investors awake at night. If we saw an agreement between North Korea and the US and the rest of the world, with maybe China mediating, that would probably allay some people's fears and calm markets down a little bit more.
I think probably you'll all see in Europe, you'll have some agreements made around Brexit. So you've got pretty much 12 months now for negotiations to come out. And what I think would ease and would have positive impact on markets was more of an agreement, or certainly some more commentary around what the agreements are, or what's happening around Brexit. I think that would have more consumer confidence will be there, certainly. And that would lead to more positive markets around Europe, certainly.
And in terms of people looking to invest their money, where would you be guiding them for the rest of the year? What's the house view?
Yeah, well, the house view is, I mean, we're believers in, as we've been saying all the way through, equity markets. Within our own strategy, let's say we're probably overall neutral on technology. We would be overweight, if you want to say that, on energy, for example, at the moment. Consumer discretionaries as well, we overweight. And financials are always a strong place to be when you've a market that we expect, which is one of rising interest rates in time. So financials would be an area, again, that we would be positive on.
And certainly for our own customers, if you look at where we'll be looking at it, we do have investment styles to meet every range of and every type of investor. I mean, it's not the case where you have to be extremely experienced in financial markets to understand or to certainly buy into our products. There are products there for as little as €125 a month, which are designed for, you know, people maybe even perhaps saving for a mortgage, right up to your more savvy investors has a few million that they want to invest into the market. So we'd have a broad range that we'd see that fits a lot of our customer needs, and particularly those customers who are concerned about long-term interest rates.
Gavin and David, thank you very much for coming into Business Post HQ today. We're going to have a lot more over the next couple of months with the guys from KBC, so thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for this month's episode of the KBC Investment Podcast. We'll be back in a month's time.